Series of sermon speeches given by Pastor Jiang in California. The topic of this particular series is Keys to a Victorious Spiritual Warfare. Here starts her sermon. For this topic, the keys to a victorious spiritual warfare, we have spent quite a few sessions and on this topic. We focused on different aspects of this warfare, of these different battlegrounds. We just focused on the physical health. We just focused on the battle in your thoughts. And on the particular area of thoughts, we have spent two sessions. But today, I think we want to spend one more session. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. For he is the kind of man who is always thinking about the cost. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. For he is the kind of man who is always thinking about the cost. Eat and drink, he said to you, but his heart is not with you. The Chinese translation is slightly different. What the literal translation is, a person's true nature is manifested by the thought in his heart. A person's true nature or character is manifested, is revealed by the thoughts in his heart. So what this really says is, when in our daily lives we face different issues, different problems in our lives, whenever anything happens, anything comes our way, it really depends on how we think, how we respond, how we react. That will really determine what kind of person we will be, what kind of person we will become, what kind of person we will just appear before other people. So it depends upon what kind of thoughts we harbor in our hearts and mind. And if we have positive thoughts, we have happy thoughts, we have thoughts of faith and encouragement, then we will become a bright person, we will become a happy person, we will become exemplary Christian before other people. But if on the other hand, our thoughts are dark, negative, we have thoughts of criticism, we have thoughts of jealousy, all that, then we will become a very unpleasant person, a person people would like to stay away from. So I still remember a book with a title of Holy Wars. That's a very, very good book. In that book, it describes all our body. Our body is just like a stronghold. It's like a fortress, but it's like a holy city. But this city has many different entrances. And these entrances are entrance of ear, entrance of thought, entrance of eyes, entrance of heart, etc., etc. And in this book it described, for the evil one, he likes to attack. He likes to attack this city, attack this fortress at different entry points. The first point he wants to launch his attack is the entry of ears. The entry of ears. Remember in ancient times when two armies pit against each other in a battle, and the very important thing is for them to shout all these charges, either to charge their own people or just try to discourage their enemies. So it is very important what they shout, and it is the kind of the slogans they throw out at their enemies, and it is the thing they want to say, they want to shout, they want to yell at their enemies to discourage their enemies, to destroy their fighting spirits. So we all know the ear is very important. So when we talk about the entry point of ears, that's the first thing the evil one wants to attack. And we have already talked about it, and we already experienced it quite in our own lives also. When people grow up, and some children, when they grew up in their families, maybe the mom always says, you are so fat, you will never be able to find yourself a husband, stuff like that. When a little girl grew up in an environment like that, she would suffer very low self-esteem. And on the other hand, another child, the mother or the father may say, you are so skinny, you are almost like a skeleton, then it, It's the same thing. Even though these are two different, two opposite things, both children may grow up to be a very, very low self-esteemed person. And these people will walk with a drooping head and also attitude, and they will suffer. They will suffer, and it's more likely they will grow up to be unhealthy spiritually and a mentally unhealthy person, and they will grow up like a people with low self-esteem. And I also have encountered like one few ladies. They are very pretty, but they still suffer low esteem. Why? That's because that pretty lady, when she grew up, she is pretty compared to the people around her, but not in her own family. Because in her own family, she has sisters who were prettier than she was. That's why when she grew up in her family environment, her parents, her relatives, they praise the prettier ones, maybe the sisters or brothers, but not herself. Because of that, even though she herself is a pretty girl, but she still grew up with a low self-esteem. She always thinks that she is an ugly girl, even though that's not a fact. But on the other hand, some very plain-looking girls, when they grew up, because they grew up in a very good, loving Christian families and environments, they just receive a lot of support, a lot of encouragement from their parents and their relatives, even though they are plain-looking, but they have a right attitude, because they know that Holy Spirit is with them, and their body is the holy temple of the Spirit. So even though they are plain-looking, they have a very good self-image. They grew up mentally very healthy. So I have a message for all the parents among us. So being a parent, you and I need to offer our children a lot of encouragement. Not something like they are beautiful or something like that, but rather something help them to build up their character. Like they are very, very good children, they are very good kids, they are very obedient kids, and things along that line. So help them to mold their healthy Christian character and Christian traits. I remember back in Taiwan, we all know two very famous painters. They're artists. One is Mrs. Huang. Mrs. Huang, when she grew up with a cerebral palsy. Because of that, she was kind of like, she looked kind of deformed, and she had just crooked neck, and her mouth was twisted also, and she stuttered a little bit, all that. But even though, despite all these shortcomings, she grew up to be a very successful painter. Why? That's because of her parents, her Christian parents. From very early on, her parents just encouraged her. They supported her. They always just told her, God created, there's a purpose to it. There's a purpose behind it. There's a purpose for your life. So your life is meaningful, even though you are just disfigured and you have some kind of problem with your health. But God created you this way. Well, God created you. There's a purpose for your life. So you and I, it's up to you and me to find out what is the purpose of her life. So she grew up to be a very successful painter. Not only that, she attained her PhD degrees in art. We all knew that. We all knew that she had her exhibit throughout this world. Despite her great disadvantage, she still succeeded. We all know that. It's a very brilliant example. So oftentimes when we think about these people, think about these living examples, living testimonies, what complaints do we have? Do you have? What complaints do you have? What complaints do I have? Nothing. Nothing. In the presence of these people, we don't have any complaints. We should not have any. Just this Christian sister shared with me about something happened to her older sister. Her older sister somehow always wanted a bigger house, a big, nice-looking house. Then she worked very hard toward it. Finally, she had her house. But she okay only a few months after that, and she realized it, and she was diagnosed diagnosed with a cancerous case. So she had this cancer. So she started a chemotherapy, she went to hospital, and she became a frequent visitor to the hospital, all that. So oftentimes after she had this case, after she went under this treatment, oftentimes she looked out the window of her beautiful house and she looked at the people walking outside. She said, all I need, all I want is to have a health. And so I can walk like people, these people outside, they are walking. They are so happy. They are so just satisfied. That's all I want. But her sister told her, no, that's not what you want. Even if you have your health, you would not be satisfied. Because before you were diagnosed with cancer, you were not happy. You were not happy with your health. When you had your health, you were not happy. So Christian, fellow Christians, oftentimes we don't realize how blessed we are until we are lost, we are deprived, we are stripped of some of the blessings in our lives. Then we realize that we were so blessed. On the other hand, for some people, maybe they did not have a big, beautiful house. Maybe they did not have a nice, fancy car. But these people are satisfied. They are content. They are happy. Why? Because that's the way they look at their lives. That's their outlook toward their life. It's their outlook toward their Christian walks with the Lord. So they can be very happy. Even materially, they are not that greatly blessed. But they feel happy. They feel content. They are always satisfied. They are always joyful. So it's very important. It depends on what kind of thoughts we harbor in our heart and mind. A while back, I remember reading this article. This particular article, the lady author shared about something between her parents, her father and her mom. Her father was a businessman. So because the nature of his business, he had a lot of contacts with different ladies and women in his career, in his business. Because of that, her mom is very unhappy, was always unhappy, was always suspicious that her husband might have an affair with this lady, with that woman, all that. And even though the fact of the matter is, her father really loved his wife, very much. He cared for his wife. He cared for his family very much. But it did not help. And the wife was always suspicious. She was always unhappy. She always thought her husband might have an affair here and there. And years later, her mother passed away. And the daughter just witnessed more than once or several times. And oftentimes when it's quiet, it's around, when it's in the middle of the night, her father will pull out the pictures of his former wife and look at a picture lovingly and cried quietly just by looking at the pictures. So the author said, the fact is her father always cared for family, always loved his wife dearly, but because the wife never accepted this fact, the wife always harbored negative thoughts, harbored just dark thoughts, and always suspicious, always thought her husband is having an affair, things like that. So the wife, when she lived, she never enjoyed peace. She never was a happy lady. Because of that, her dark mood just spread out through the family and made the whole family just depressed. Another example is, one mother has an important appointment. So she sent her two children, a daughter and a son, just to a friend's house. And she went on her appointment. So the son was very happy. The son was just jumped up and down. He enjoyed himself for a few hours. He had a good time. And even though it is a friend's house, he enjoyed himself. But on the other hand, the daughter did not enjoy at all. The daughter just stayed, just kind of shrank herself into a corner, sat there, just kind of worried, concerned. She was anxious. She kind of like, she was all sorts of negative thoughts are going through her mind. She was thinking, maybe, who knows, my mom doesn't want me because I was always too mischievous, too nasty, and I always caused too much trouble to my mom and to my family. Maybe my mother doesn't want me. My mother just wanted to dump the two of us here, and she will never come back to pick us back up, and she stopped loving me. Probably I will stay with this family forever. Later on, a few hours later, mom came. Mom came to pick them up. So the girl just hugged mom and said, "Mom, I thought you would never come back. I thought you just dumped me, and with this family, you did not want me." That really just hurt the heart of the mom, because the mom was so disappointed. How could you think that way? You are my daughter. How could you think of that? You are so young. Why you have such negative and dark thoughts about your parents, about me particularly? I'm your mom. How come? So, as a result, the mom really learned a lesson. Now, the mom is a Christian. So the mom said, from then on, I never have any suspicion. I never doubted the love of my Heavenly Father, because simply this is something I can do. I cannot do it. I cannot do it to hurt the heart of my Heavenly Father. Yes, sometimes in our lives, we pray that we ask our God, but seems God refused to answer us. God did not answer us. God just kept silent. But the mother realized from then on, no matter what happens, God still loves me. I can never let negative thoughts just sneak up on me, because even though God did not answer me, God has not responded to my prayer, but I can never doubt the love of the Lord. The Lord still loves me. What I need to do is I just wait upon God and wait for God to respond. Wait for God to take actions. Wait for God to respond to my prayer, to respond to my petition, because God always loves me. I should never doubt. I will never doubt. I will never give in to negative thoughts, to suspect, to doubt the love of my Lord. So oftentimes when we see a pretty person, maybe she has a pretty face, but if she harbors very negative, very bitter feelings and grudges against people, against other things, then you can feel the negativity from her demeanor on her face. But on the other hand, a plain-looking person, because she has this deep love for the Lord, she has this deep love for the people around her, she always has this joy, she always rejoices in the Lord, then you can tell, this person looks so beautiful. Even though physical features, she is a plain-looking person, but she may appear to be so beautiful. I know this sister. And when someone complained to her, "How come you don't smile that much? How come whenever I see you, it does not seem you are smiling? And not only that, it does not seem you like my company. You do not say hello to me." And this sister responded in a very good way. She said, "Oh, really? Then I really need to pay attention to that particular aspect. I never realized I behaved like that. Okay, thank you. Thank you for pointing that out for me. And I think I will do something about it." So that's the way how she responded. But on the contrary, she can say, How can I be smiling? How can I be cheerful to people or maybe someone like you? Because I have so much burden, I have so much trouble, I have so concern and anxieties in my life. See, this is another way. Then that really make a big difference as far as this person's interpersonal relationship is concerned. So the trick here. The main point I want to bring up here is we need to stay low. We need to stay low, which means we need to just step down from our self-esteem, from our pride, from our just arrogance, When people correct us, people point something in our areas which we need to be worked through, which needs to be dealt with, we need to step down immediately and readily. And if we stay low, like in the book said, we stoop low, then the arrows of the evil one will not hit us. Because we are low, we are not a big target, we are not ready target, we are not easy target for the arrows of Satan to shoot at us and to catch us, to hit us. I remember when I first became a minister, that was many years ago, and I remember another minister just gave me a small envelope to help me out. It is a financial support. I was deeply touched. I was very moved. I was moved by the love of this minister. Even though financially I was not in dire need, but I was very appreciative, and I realized that the love of the Lord, I not only thanked him, I also appreciated, also expressed my gratitude to the Lord. So that's the way I just responded to the sharing of the love of the Lord from another Christian, from another minister. But on the other hand, particularly we Chinese, we can react in an entirely different way, which means why I'm so pitiful, why I need to receive financial help and assistance from other people. I'm okay. Why I'm on the receiving end of it? How can I deal with it? And I have my self-esteem. Why should I receive financial help from other people? So brothers and sisters, everything comes your way. It depends on how you react and how you respond. You can react in a way which will benefit yourself and also help others. But you can also behave in a very negative way. Not only hurt your own self, it will also hurt others. So like I said at the beginning, so what kind of person we will become depends a lot on what kind of thoughts we just harbor in our hearts and mind, and what kind of thoughts we allow ourselves to linger on. Particularly, it's difficult to receive help and assistance or alms from other people in our Chinese tradition and culture. And oftentimes when we receive something from other people, we are often just kind of concerned and slightly worried. How am I going to pay back to this person? That's why Bible said, for those who enter the heavenly kingdom, we need to become like children. Then, well, what is the difference between children and us? A children, if you give him some candies, what does he do? He says, thank you. Thank you, man. Thank you, sir. And that's a children. What he worry about, oh, now I received this candy from this man. How should I pay back to her? Does he worry about that? Of course not. And a short while back, Elderly Chen also shared with his experience with us in one of the cell group meetings, in our neighborhood group gatherings. And he said when he was very young in his middle school years, and he got into this bad habit of smoking, and he and a few classmates one time, they were smoking somewhere, and another student spotted them, or not only that, reported it to the schoolmaster, and because of that, they were punished, and the whole group, the smoking group, was punished. And then all the students who were punished, they were very angry about that fellow student who reported on them, and they held grudges against him, but not Elderly Chen, even though he himself was also a youngster, also a student, but he just thought about it. He gave some serious thoughts to why the student reported on him, and he thought, since the schoolmaster punished me for the smoking, then smoking was really bad. Even though at my age, I just liked it, I enjoyed it, but since I got punishment for doing this, it must be bad. I need to quit. I need to quit now. I can't wait. I have to do something to it. I want to quit now and quit forever, once for all. I will never do that again. That's what he did. So So that's how he stopped smoking from that day on. But not with the rest of the smoking group. All these students, they have different thoughts. They reacted differently. They were angry, and they held grudges against the student who reported on them. Because they have a different thought, they reacted differently, and they reacted in a negative way. Even though when he shared with today, they are all in their 70s. But these few other students, they are in their 70s also. So these students, they are still smokers. They never quit. They are still smokers. See, when something happens in our life, how we think, how we react, how we allow the thoughts to stay with us, it really makes a big difference. For us Christians, it is important, no matter what happened to our lives, no matter what comes in our way, if we are Christians, regardless it's positive or negative, the way we look at it, there must be a purpose, because God allowed that to happen to us. There was a purpose behind it. Whether it's a message God wants to deliver to you, or whether that's a lesson God wants to for you to learn, or just something God raises or God allowed to happen to you to come your way, is to have you trained to be a stronger, to be a more courageous, a stauncher soldier for the army of our Lord. So Christians, particularly when we oftentimes we face some criticism from our fellow Christians or from our family members, particularly those critical things, critical words coming our way, we need to be very careful. We need to be very receptive. We need to have a very open heart and an open mind. We should have an open attitude to receive these critical words. And if we can step down from our self-esteem and our pride, And most, 9 out of 10 times, let me put it that way, that it will be helpful if we receive these things in a gracious way and we think carefully along the lines of these critical words, it might do much good to our lives. Another Christian sister, who is not from our church, she called me and she shared her pain with me. And she prayed before God. And finally, God answered her prayer, so her husband, who was having an affair, finally stopped this illicit relationship, and he came back home. But even though he came back home, it seems the demeanor, the attitude that he carried all along did not change a bit. And she tried her best to restore this broken relationship. She tried to be a nicer, a more caring wife for her husband. And she tried to cook better dishes and serve him in a more careful and more loving way. But it seems no matter what she did, her husband did not show any appreciation. Her husband did not change his bad attitude at all. So afterwards, she was discouraged. She complained to God. She said, God, she said, is that something what I deserve? And he is the one who just strayed. He is the one who sinned. Now he came back. I accepted him. I'm trying my best to receive him back to my life. How come this is what I'm encountering? How come this is something I'm receiving? What is happening? Then God said, yes, out of love for me, you just accepted him. You receive him. And because of that, all of a sudden it dawned into the heart of our sister, yes, why should I pay so much attention to him? Why should I pay so much attention to how he behaved, how he responded, how he cares about me? Because I have the love of the Lord. I have the concerns and good deeds and the blessings from the Lord. Why should I be so concerned about how my husband is reacting to me? So because I have the Lord with me, I have the love of the Lord with me, I have the love of the Lord which is wrapping me around, surrounding me, why should I be so concerned about how my husband is doing or is saying or is responding to my love? because I have love of the Lord. That's enough. That's enough. Because she changed her attitude. You know what? After a while, she became a different person. She became a happy person. She became a joyful person. She became a very appreciative person because she changed. Her husband did not change, but she changed. She changed because of the love of the Lord. She changed because she would not allow these negative thoughts, these bittering thoughts, these bitter thoughts to stay with her. So like I said, the important thing is not, do not pay attention to how people respond to you. Do not look to your the people around you, but look up. Look up, look up to God, look up to God, to pursue God, to seek God's help, to seek God's understanding, to seek God's love, to seek God's protection. Then if you look up to God, and if you focus on God, if you just pay attention to Jesus, what He would say, what He would respond, what would He would react, then you will be different. You will be a much happier person. You will be a much more joyful person. And not only that, your joy, your happiness will just influence other people, will affect the people around you. You will make your environment a happier one. You will make your office a happier one. You will make your family a brighter family. People around you will be touched by your joy, will be affected by your happiness. So like this sister later on shared with me again, and she said, because she changed her thoughts, she changed her attitude toward this whole issue. She changed. She changed as a person as a result. She became much more happier now. A sister from our church recently shared with me that since we started this topic of spiritual warfare, and she realized in her life, like both physically and mentally and spiritually, she had many, many cracks. She had many gaps which needs to be just mended, which needs to be filled, to be just fixed. So she did not know how to start with. So one day she had this dream, almost a kind of like she was put into some kind of a trance. So she had this dream that she had a servant. This lady servant, this woman servant, was very arrogant, was very adamant, and was very angry servant. Not only that, this servant was very dominant servant. She wants to take control of all the deeds of the household, all the dealings with the household. And even though she was a servant, it seems she was taking control of her master, which is our sister. And she was very disappointed to the point she was afraid. Why this servant is so dominant? Why this servant is so angry? Why this servant is so aggressive and so combative? And she being her master, she was afraid of this woman servant. And she woke up from this dream. So she asked God, Lord, could you explain to me what this dream is about? Then the Lord answered her. The Lord answered, well, that angry servant is your flesh. That angry servant is your old self. That servant is the one of your inner being. You need to deal with it. You need to put to death of this old servant, which is yourself. You need to put your old self to death on the cross, which Jesus is also nailed. So the Lord said to her, even though she is angry, she is combative, she is dominant, she is adamant, but don't forget, she is your servant. She is your servant. You can command her. You can proclaim in the victory of the Lord. You can command her. You can just give orders for her to follow, not to follow her, because she is your servant. So this really taught our sister a great lesson. Is the Lord also gave her very heavy messages. We all have this arrogant servant in us who wants to take control of us, but we should never give in. We should never step back. We need to proclaim in the face of the Lord, in the victory of the Lord. We want to put our old self to death. We want to give orders to our flesh. We want to put our flesh, we want to put our old self onto the cross, to nail it to the cross. Remember a few weeks back, I shared one example with you. There's this brother who suffers a severe stuttering problem. And because of this stuttering problem, and he just praised the Lord. He praised the Lord for this particular problem. He said, Lord, I praise you. Lord, I praise you for this problem. Lord, I praise you for my stuttering. There was a purpose behind this. Lord, you have better things for me to do. You have better things planned for me. Lord, I praise your name. I praise your name. I praise you because of my stuttering. He praised. He never gave up. You know, why? Not only that, after an extended period of time, his stuttering problem disappeared. Not only that, you and I, we all know he became a very eloquent speaker. He was a capable, dynamic speaker. So, brothers and sisters, it's very important. We, being Christians, we being children of God, we need to be very careful what kind of thoughts we have in our mind, what kind of thoughts we have in our heart, what kind of thoughts we allow in our mind and heart. That's very important. We need to be always on guard. We need to be on high alert because we are warriors. We are soldiers of the great army of our Lord. We need to be very careful. We should be on guard, not allow bad thoughts, negative thoughts, like jealousy thoughts or angry thoughts, all that kind of thing, or thoughts of pride or arrogance. All these negative things, all these things, they do not belong to the heavenly realm. We don't allow them to linger in our hearts, to stay with us. It is very important. This thing, I can't emphasize more. Let's turn to Psalm 139, verses 1 and 2. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. Our Lord really perceives our thoughts from afar. Our Lord really knows what we have in our thoughts. See, it says, you know when I sit and when I rise. Our Lord really knows everything. Everything we do. Everything we say and every thought in our mind, because one day when we meet with our Lord face to face, every single piece of thoughts will be demonstrated for us, will be shown before us. So oftentimes today in this world, oftentimes particularly in the church setting, we can we are so familiar with the jargon of the church vocabulary. We can say beautiful prayers, we can say good things, encouraging things to our fellow Christians, all that. But our thoughts is still a hidden secret. Most of the time our thoughts are unknown to the people around us. But it's very important, very critical, and it is also an emergency. It is a heavy message to us. We need to guard our thoughts in our heart and our mind, because one day when we see our God face to face, our God will show us all our thoughts. Like some Christian said to the Lord, Lord, I want to be a doctor because I will make a lot of money and I can use the money to serve your kingdom. The Lord's answer was, no, it's not your purpose. Your real purpose is you want to buy your Cadillac. You want to buy your Cadillac. So one day, fellow Christians, all our thoughts, when we meet our Lord face to face, our Lord will show all our thoughts throughout our lives. So God will really ask us how much love you have shown, you have demonstrated toward me, how much love you have shown towards your fellow Christians. So that's why it says, you perceive my thoughts from afar. So, brothers and sisters, be careful. Be careful. And also, we need to be on high alert because all our thoughts are no secrets to our Lord. No matter how hidden, how secretive our thoughts are, in our innermost chambers, when we have those thoughts, particularly evil thoughts, those dirty thoughts, those filthy thoughts, those angry thoughts, all these are known to God. All these are open book to God. So Christian brothers and sisters, these are heavy messages before you and me. So when we have critical thoughts, we have thoughts of suspicious of other people, we have thoughts of finger pointing, and if we do not repent, these thoughts will be shown by our Lord before us, before everyone else, when we meet with our God face to face. So particularly when we have negative thoughts, when we have jealousy thoughts, we have thoughts of criticism, and we have thoughts of pride, we have thoughts of arrogance and adamancy, all these before our other fellow Christians in our church, all these thoughts need to be dealt with. We really need to proclaim in the victory of the Lord so we can nail these filthy thoughts onto the cross. And we need to fight against these thoughts. It is difficult. Christians, it is very difficult because it's our sinful nature. That's why we have these thoughts. But we need to put up these fierce fights, fierce battles with these bad thoughts, negative thoughts. We may fail today, but we need to stand up, and tomorrow we continue our fights. We never give up. We never give up. We need to ask the help of our Lord and never give up on this. It is important. It is critical. We need also to confess these negative thoughts, these filthy thoughts are sins before God and man. We need to confess our sins. That's not enough. Not only confessing of our sins, we need to repent. We need to repent. This is the second stage. The first stage is to confess before Lord. It is our sin. It is our sin when we harbor bad thoughts, negative thoughts against other people, against God, against different issues in our life. And when we have filthy thoughts and negative thoughts, and we have a thought of pride, a thought of criticism, all these things we first need to confess. They are sin. They are sins before God and before man. The second stage is we need to repent. We really need to repent. Let's look at Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Verses 23 and 24. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Again, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." This really tells us we don't know what kind of thoughts we have in our heart. Sometimes we don't know how we will respond, how we will react, not until we are tested. We are tested. Our spiritual life is tested. There's this one Christian sister who shared her dream with me. One time she had this dream is she was out in the field. All of a sudden in this big horizon, open ground, people are seeing a huge piece of stone is falling down. It's just like an asteroid. This thing is falling down very fast and on top of this whole area. So everybody just rushed to try to find a shelter. And all people panic, including this sister. So she just approached one particular building and a house, and then she knocked on the door. And she, like many other people, they were pounding on the door. "Open the door, open the door, let us in, open the door, because we're going to be crushed. This big piece of rock, this big piece of stone, it's falling down, it is falling down on top of on our heads. Open the door, open the door. Why are you guys in there so selfish? Haven't you heard we are pounding on the door? Are you hearing us? Open the door for us, open the door for us. We are dying, we're going to die because the big stone is going to crush us." So they were shouting, they were yelling, they were cursing even. They were cursing the people inside the building. "How come you guys are so selfish?
selfish. How come you guys are so heartless? How come you guys, you them, you these guys, why don't you open the door? We're going to die. So are you happy you are going to look at us and you just watch us die before you? How come you people inside are so cold-blooded? Open the door, open the door. We are going to perish. And she, all of a sudden, she realized all these people were yelling, cursing. They were Sunday school teachers. They were ministers. They were different Christians who served in different capacity of the church. All these people are known to this sister. So she was so surprised, but she was also panicked. All of a sudden, she felt this great power. Someone pushed on her back. So she was pushed through this door. Miraculously, she was inside. Even the door was closed. Then once on the other side of the door, she realized this door was shut by God himself. God purposely shut this door. But for some reason, she was pushed through this door. Now she is on the other side of the door. Then she realized, on the other side of the door, it was so calm, so peaceful. A lot of Christians, they are enjoying themselves. They are sitting around the table doing their Bible study. All these people, they heard, they did not hear anything. Anything. They did not know anything what was going on the other side of that door. They did not hear. So the Lord just showed this vision to her. The Lord just taught this sister a lesson. Is on this side of the door, because these people, they have this calm, they have this peace, they have this rest from our Lord. So they are so calm because they did not hear what was going on in this world, because all their heart, their mind, their thoughts are with the Lord, are focusing on the Lord only. So they are enjoying the presence of the Lord. They are enjoying the peace bestowed by the Lord. But on the other hand, on the other side of the door, it's an entirely different story and a different scenario. The people on the other side, even though they serve in the church and they are Christians, they have professed Christians, all that, but once when something happened, they panicked. Something happened. They allow those negative thoughts to stay with them. They allowed these negative thoughts to grow in them, to develop in them. And not only that, these negative thoughts, they bear fruits because they started cursing. They started cursing. Even though they were Christians, even though they served the Lord, even though they were servants for the Lord, but because they allowed these negative thoughts stay with them. So their old self just popped up. Their old self just woke up to take control of them. So Christian brothers, this is not only a dream for this particular sister. This visionary dream is for all of us, for you and for me. So when something happens in our life, it is very critical. You and I need to make a decision. You and I need to take a stand. What do we want to do? What do we want to do? Do we want to continue to trust the Lord? No matter what happened, we still refuse to let the negative thoughts set root in us, set any foot in us, so we can still proclaim the victory of the Lord. We can still praise the great name of the Lord. We can still hold on to the peace and rest of the Lord. We can still be joyful because of the Lord, not because the circumstances, not because our afflictions, not because of difficulties, not because of sufferings and pains and hurts, but because Lord is Lord. Our Lord is my God. So it is very important what kind of attitude we take, what kind of thoughts we allow to set root in us. Yes, sometimes we fail, but it is important we need to pray to God, ask help from our God. Let's turn to Psalm 19 and verse 14. May the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So these really should be our prayer every day. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So the meditation of my heart, in essence, it is the thoughts in our mind and in my heart. May our thoughts be pleasing in the sight of our Lord. So it is very important. It is very important. We need to remember these verses. We make these verses part of our daily prayer. So the Lord will help us to help purify our thoughts, purify our heart. So we only allow the positive, the bright, the good thoughts, the encouraging thoughts to set root in us. So even though sometimes when we fail miserably, we fail before the Lord or before man, we still can pray to God, God, I failed today, but it's okay. God, just help me to support me, to bring me up. I want to stand up and continue this fight. Even though today I failed, but I want to be victorious tomorrow, and I want to be victorious from now on. So just important thing, even if we sometimes fail, but don't give in. Don't just let the thought, oh, I'm hopeless. Oh, I'm helpless. Oh, I'm doomed. There's no future for me. I'm just such a weakling. There's no hope for me. I will never become a strong Christian because that's me. That's my nature. See, this is negative thoughts. But just contrary, what you do is, Lord, I failed today. It's very unfortunate. But Lord, I still put my trust in you. I just place my faith in you because you never fail. Because you came out victorious. I just proclaim in your victory. Help me out so tomorrow I can be victorious. So let's also turn to Psalm 18, verse 37. It says, I pursue my enemies and overtake them. I did not turn back until they were destroyed. See, yes, we have enemies, which is ourselves. These evil thoughts are our enemies. So we not only need to struggle, we need to fight against our enemies, which is our evil thoughts. We need to overtake them. We need to capture them. We need to just put them to death. So very important. It says, I pursue my enemies and overtook them. I did not turn back until they were destroyed. It's so important. We want to destroy our evil thoughts. We need to proclaim victory. We need to conquer our evil thoughts. We need to conquer our negative thoughts. We put them to death. We destroy our enemy, which is we destroy our negative thoughts. So we can let the positive thoughts, the bright thoughts from the Lord take root and build up this stronghold in us. So it is important. So 18:37 is a good verse. Let's look at verse 19. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. He says, he brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. It says, the Lord, it's Lord's will to brought us into a broad horizon, a spacious place. A spacious place. What the Lord is saying, the Lord wants to make our inner life, our spiritual realm a spacious place, a bright, spacious place. It's not a dark place. It's not a dark corner, an inner secret chamber, but a spacious place, a bright place. So we really need to engage ourselves in this fierce battle. We just struggle, we fight, we battle until our spiritual life is a spacious place, is a bright place for the Lord to build His temple. Verse 33, it says, He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. So all we Christians, we are climbing a mountain. We are on the upslope. Yes, it is quite demanding, physically demanding. So which means spiritually demanding because we are going uphill. We are climbing a mountain. We are climbing a cliff. Yes, it is laborious. Yes, it needs a lot of hard work, but that's what a Christian's life is about. That's what a Christian's a warrior's life is about. That's a Christian's roadway is about. So we want, if God will want us to put us on heights, on heights. So we need to fight this fierce fight, fierce battle until the Lord can put us on a high platitude, on high ground. So it says, He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. A deer's feet is a trotting feet, is a happy feet, is a jumpy, happy, pleasant feet, and it is also brisk feet. He enables me to stand on the heights. So we need to strive for higher ground, spiritual higher ground. No matter what our current spiritual status is, the Lord will, if we ask, the Lord will guide us and lead us and shine His light into our darkened areas. We will know where are the higher grounds the Lord wants us to proclaim, the Lord wants us to take possession of. So it is very important. So maybe starting from next session, I'm going to focus on our emotions, our spiritual battle in the realms of our emotions. That's also important. We all know the spiritual warfare against our evil thoughts and depressive emotions are very difficult, and sometimes we will fail. But take heart. Take heart. If we fail, we continue. We just get up and continue our fight again. This is the spirit. This is the attitude. This has to be the determination you and I have to have in our mind and in our heart, because we are fighting for the Lord, and God is fighting with us. That God is fighting with us, we will never fail. If you and I rely on God, rely on God's strength, rely on the power of the Spirit, and we also put our trust and faith in our God, we will ultimately just conquer. We will ultimately be victorious. It is very important. So Christian brothers and sisters, it is important. It is important. If we just refuse to let a negative thought set root in us. Instead, we just welcome those positive thoughts, those encouraging thoughts, and these bright thoughts, and these decisive thoughts in the Lord, to welcome them into our spiritual, into our heart, into our spirit. And we just ask God to help us. God certainly will. God certainly will. And we can be just bold soldiers for the Lord. And we can come out of this battle a victor, a victor. So Christians, it's important. Spiritual warfare is no light issue. It's no small matter. But we can be conquerors. We can be victors if we trust the Lord, if we rely on the power of the Spirit. The important thing is we need to be always on high alert, on very careful watch and guard. What kind of thoughts we have in our mind, what kind of thoughts we allow in our heart to brew, to stay, to linger. That's the issue. That's the issue. We have to be always be very careful. And so we can continue this fight with the help of our Lord. We can become a bright Christian. We can become a positive Christian if we ask the help of the Lord, if we put our trust in the Lord, if we are bold enough to continue this spiritual warfare with the guidance, with the power of the Spirit. Let's turn to hymn 184.